Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
The first case today is Automation by Design versus Raybestos. Ms. Bray.
Good morning, Your Honors. Michelle Kaiser Bray of Summer Barnard, appearing today on behalf of the appellant plaintiff, Automation by Design. May it please the court, counsel. Your Honors, this case is a copyright dispute involving technical designs and the proper interpretation of license language under that copyright. We're here today because the appellant ABD has appealed the Southern District Court of Indiana's grant of summary judgment in favor of the defendants in this copyright infringement matter.
Ms. Bray, let me just ask you right off the bat, because I know you don't have too much time.
Right.
If Raybestos had hired PDSI to fix the machine, could PDSI copy the design under the license?
No, PDSI had no right to copy the design. There was an implicit right of distribution for the sole purpose of maintaining and repairing the machine, but
well,
that didn't have
to copy it by reverse engineering of the equipment, couldn't they?
PDSI could, in fact, have reverse engineered the machine itself. It wasn't authorized to copy the designs to do that, Your Honor.
Well, your claim is that they weren't authorized to use the drawings specifically, right?
The drawings did not carry a right of distribution, so Raybestos didn't have the right to distribute the drawings to PDSI. PDSI did not have any right to copy or distribute or make derivative works of the drawings, period. In fact, the defendants have conceded before this court that they didn't even grant or attempt to grant a transfer of that license to PDSI.
Okay, but let's in the deposition testimony of ABD's John Kirk, he stated that Raybestos could make copies of drawings and send them out to another company to have different toolings made.
Correct.
Okay. Where in the disputed language from that June 21st letter does it distinguish between copying and distributing designs for the purpose of creating tooling and copying and distributing the designs for the purposes of manufacturing a duplicate?
Right. I think that's the point, Your Honor, that the express language of the license was limited to right of duplication. You won't find in the language of that license a right of distribution anywhere because, at a minimum, that language has to be
What's
ambiguous.
What's this got to do with distribution, though? I don't understand that. They just gave it to this other company to make the machine for them. I don't see what that... They didn't distribute it to any third parties. That's what your language here contemplates, is customers or other third parties, it seems to me.
But PDSI was a third party, Your Honor. PDSI was not privy to the license.
It wasn't transferred to them. It was just given to them for a limited purpose, I think.
Well, that purpose exceeded the scope of the license, Your Honor. The scope of the license did not include the purpose of sending out the designs for purposes of creating an entirely new machine. The evidence on the record, and we have evidence from ABD and the parties on this point.
You didn't exclude that, though. There's nothing in that language that excludes what happened here that I can see.
Right, but under copyright law, to the extent that there's a right given, everything else is kept. In other words, that right of reproduction or that right of distribution or that right to create derivative works under Section 106 is reserved to the extent that it's not licensed out. So just because the license itself did not carry the restriction for maintenance and repair doesn't mean then they gave away all of their rights of copyright. In order to do that, there would have to be a written license or a transfer of those rights.
But when ABD provided a complete set of drawings to Raybestos, it included drawings not only for parts made by ABD, but also drawings for component parts not made by ABD. So what I'm wondering is, were there any copyright issues with the drawings of the component parts that were not made by ABD? In other words, did ABD have to seek permission prior to copying and distributing the drawings for the component parts?
The drawings for the component parts were included in the manuals. Those were not included in the deposit for the copyright in ABD's drawings. Those drawings were provided pursuant to the license. The license was granted in the letter of June 21st, and the purchase order came after that on June 24th. So that booklet was provided pursuant to the license and given for the purpose of access so that people within the Rebestos organization could utilize those drawings for purposes of maintaining and repairing the machine.
Do you know where I'm going with this? In other words, I'm trying to find out if ABD was careful about complying with the copyrights of material of which it was in possession.
Right. And there's no evidence in the record to indicate that they didn't have permission to include those particular designs in the manual, if that's where you're going, Your Honor.
I'm trying to figure out where the copyright issue emerged from. Is it because ABD was smarting from the factory? Asbestos had gone to another vendor, or?
Yes, Your Honor, the evidence on the record is that the parties contemplated that ABD would construct that second machine. In fact, ABD testified that, in part, the consideration was for granting the license that they were going to be able to build the second machine. That's actually memorialized in the written agreement between the parties. In fact, the district court referenced that in the context of if the parties thought that the transaction between them were going to end at the point of installation of the machine, that this language would have been unnecessary. So there's no evidence on the record that ever showed that the parties anticipated that anyone other than ABD was going to create that second machine.
Mm-hmm.
You proposed this language, didn't you?
I think this language is a head scratcher. I think it's clear an attorney didn't draft
it. Your client proposed it. Hmm? Is that right?
I think the client drafted this language. Yes.
Well, the purpose of the whole purpose of this was for maintenance.
That's correct, Your Honor. The purpose of the license and the evidence on the record shows that, you know, the conversations that were had between the parties at and near the consummation of the contract was that they needed this access to this design for purpose of maintaining and repairing the machine. Otherwise, ABD had no intent to even grant access to the designs. That was the only reason they were given access to the designs to begin with. One other point that I want to make about the district court decision with respect to the revocation issue is that the district court erred where it decided then that the scope was so broad that it included these rights of distribution and rights to create derivative works, particularly for third parties that weren't privy to the license, and then on that basis said that ABD could not revoke the license for material breach. We have evidence showing that Rebestos distributed these designs contrary to the scope of the license, and on that basis, ABD as the copyright owner had the right to terminate the license, recapture the rights that were granted at that point. So we believe the court committed reversible error on that point.
Doesn't with respect, that make the deal illusory if you have a right to revoke it at any point?
Well, this is an important point, and I'm glad you brought it up. The issue of termination at will, the court said, well, there was consideration for this license. Because there was consideration under the contract, there must have been consideration under the license. The evidence shows that there was no monetary consideration for the license. The consideration under the contract was for the purchase of the machine. And all of the itemized entries were there in the contract. You can see where the money was placed. The license wasn't included in that itemized list. Now, if the consideration existed for the license, that consideration, the evidence shows, came from ABD's expectation that it would be building the second machine. That was the benefit it was to receive in the future. This Seventh Circuit has dealt with this issue before. This Seventh Circuit in the Wathol v. Russ case had an argument before it that copyright licenses that are non-exclusive are irrevocable where there's consideration. And this Seventh Circuit said that contention is without merit. The district court said, I think the Seventh Circuit's position on this is hazy. I'm going to follow the reasoning of the Fifth Circuit. I like their position better. Our interpretation of Wathol v. Rusk could be one of two things. One is the Seventh Circuit disagrees with the Fifth Circuit. Seventh Circuit thinks this position is without merit. The other interpretation could be that the kind of consideration that existed in that particular case was exactly, as you said, Your Honor, this illusory kind of consideration. In that case, you had a promise of future earnings, a split on profits, 50% interest in the net profits on the sale of this music. And the court said, we believe the court determined that that wasn't the kind of consideration that's required for purposes of making a copyright license irrevocable, because copyright licenses don't require consideration.
You mean it makes
contracts
a difference
do.
That you proposed the language as to whether it's revocable or not?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't hear the question.
I say, do you think it makes any difference? You proposed this language. Does that affect the question of its revocability by you?
I don't think so, Your Honor. There's also evidence from the defendants. There's testimony from Mr. DePoy, who said he viewed this license as a royalty-free license, that there was an independent consideration for it. So, you know, our perspective is if the court, the district court, is going to place this license in the context of the contract for purposes of consideration, then the district court also has to place the license in the context of the contract for purposes of determining whether there are ongoing performance obligations of the parties. Because under Indiana law, if there are ongoing performance obligations of the parties, and there were in this case, and there's no definite term, that license, that agreement, can be terminated at will. And we believe that the district court erred on this point, Your Honor.
It was part of the transaction, wasn't it? You're saying it was without consideration, but it was proposed by your client as part of the transaction when it was negotiated, was it not?
It was part of the transaction, Your Honor, but oftentimes licenses run parallel with the agreement. In other words, a license can be terminated and the agreement doesn't have to be terminated. So a license can be unilateral, whereas, you know, a contract always must always have consideration. A copyright license does not always carry consideration. And in this case, our position is the evidence shows there wasn't any consideration. And their own representative testified there wasn't any consideration.
No, but this wasn't just an isolated grant of a license. It was part of a transaction which accepted your bid to make the machine.
The district court viewed this as part of the package, and again, Your Honor, we believe that if you're going to view it as part of the package for purposes of consideration, one has to ask whether or not that's the kind of consideration that the Seventh Circuit thought was sufficient for purposes of making a copyright license irrevocable, and we believe the Walthall v. Russ case says that the answer to that is no. I see that my light is on, Your Honor. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Bray. Ms. Carley?
Thank you, Your Honors. Elizabeth Kiley for the defendants' appellees. The defendants' appellees respectfully request this court to affirm the district court's grant of summary judgment in their favor and against the plaintiff, Automation by Design.
Ms. Kiley, what meaning should we give to the words in the June 21st letter, "This license is non-transferable"?
That language, Your Honor, meant that Ray Bestas could not itself transfer that license to a third party and have the third party, not for Ray Bestas' benefit, use ABD's drawings. The transferability under the case law focuses on whether or not the work being done by the third party inures to the benefit of the license holder. We cited the cases of Womack and Hampton and Hogan Associates for that very proposition.
I have to be real honest with you. I'm having a lot of trouble with it, because if that language doesn't prohibit the transfer of the designs to PDSI, I don't understand what meaning those words had.
Well, Your Honor, the language does not permit Ray Bestas to transfer the designs to PDSI, and then PDSI can go out and, for persons other than Ray Bestas, start making a clutch plate assembly machine. As long as PDSI's work was done on Ray Bestas' behalf, as Ray Bestas' agent, so to speak, then the license extended to PDSI, and the transferability clause was not implicated.
See, at one point, ABD offered to sell its copyright in the designs for five times the cost of fabricating the machine, right?
Your Honor, that is a highly disputed fact. Mr. Kirk,
if that's a highly disputed fact, there should be no summary judgment in this case.
I think the evidence was that that conversation occurred after the June 21, 1999 letter was written. I think even Mr. Kirk's testimony on that point was that that conversation occurred some point after the contract had been issued during the course of the party's negotiations relating or discussions regarding the machine itself and the fabrication of the machine.
My problem is that the purchase price of the machine didn't change,
Your Honor,
after the license was added to the contract. And I would wonder why Raybestos would think that it was getting for free something that ABD had originally offered it, you know, to sell it for five times the cost of the machine. I mean, it just seems so odd.
Well, there's 2 points, Your Honor. First, Mr. Kirk admitted that the number five times the price of the machine was purely arbitrary, a number picked out of his head. It had no basis in fact or reality. They had never done that before, so he had no template to measure it against. So it was a completely arbitrary number. And for that reason, the district court found that that testimony was entitled to very little weight, if any weight. The second point, Your Honor, is you used the phrase that the price of the contract. There was no contract until ABD offered that license. ABD had submitted several offers. Raybestos had rejected every single offer until the license was put into the offer. Then Raybestos accepted it. The license was part of this transaction from the beginning as far as the formation of the contract. There is no requirement that consideration be parsed amongst the parties' respective obligations and rights under a contract. Courts have never required that. The license formed an integral part, if not the integral part, of this transaction, because until the license was in there, there was no contract between the parties. Your Honors, the language of the license itself refers to duplicate any or all designs. It doesn't say copying the drawings. It does not place a restriction to maintenance, repair, or replacement. It says duplicate the designs. That language is broader than ABD proposes. The significance.
Is the meaning of non-transferable, is that supplied in part at least by the last clause of the provision, namely fabricated for resale or transfer to a customer or supplier?
Yes, Your Honor. My point clearly enough, but Your Honor summarized succinctly. The purpose of the non-transferability was they didn't want Raybestos going out and giving this right to one of their customers, and then that person could go out and sell these clutch plate assembly machines to someone else. When Raybestos engaged PDSI to build the clutch plate assembly machine for itself, it did not violate the non-transferability clause.
So in its agreements with PSDI, did Raybestos limit PDSI's use of the ABD designs? In other words, once PDSI had its hands on ABD's design, what was stopping it from duplicating and distributing those designs to other parties?
Your Honor, there was evidence suggested that Raybestos required PDSI to sign an agreement wherein it said it would not distribute those designs.
What is that evidence?
It is a license agreement, and I believe it, not a license agreement. It was a authorization. It was part of the disclosure agreement that Raybestos gave to PDSI and all of its subcontractors, or the persons. The persons to whom Raybestos distributed the drawings in connection with the bids. It submitted a non-disclosure agreement. It was included in the appendix submitted to Your Honor. I believe the exact. I can get Your Honor the site if you wish.
Well, not now, because
okay.
You don't have that much time. But
it was part of what Raybestos gave to the person submitting bids was a non-disclosure type agreement that said that the person would only use this to prepare their bid and then would return the drawings to Raybestos when they were done with them.
You might, you know, send an addendum to us with the page.
I'll do that, Your Honor. Your Honor, if I could turn to the issue of Wathel versus Rusk. In Wathel versus Rusk, the Seventh Circuit addressed the issue of whether an oral implied license was terminable at will. While it was the case is distinguishable because here we don't have an oral or implied license, we have an express written license. The more significant factor is that the contract at issue in Wathel was a contract that contemplated continuing performance. It was in the nature of an executory contract. The doctrine of terminable at will arises in the context of executory contracts. Although not phrased in these terms, that's precisely the point that the court made in Baldwin Piano, is that the terminable at will doctrine arises in the context of employment agreements, distributorship agreements, franchise agreements, all of which are executory contracts. There is no authority that an executed contract, like a sales contract, is terminable at will without additional consideration. That's the law of Indiana, that contracts given for consideration are executed and are not terminable at will. While counsel has suggested that the contract here required a continuing performance, there is nothing in the purchase order that obligated Ray Bestis to purchase another machine or to purchase that other machine from ABD. There are two lines in the purchase order that simply say that ABD is to provide, or if duplicates of the machine shall be provided by ABD at 85% of the cost of the first machine. 2 points. That language did not obligate Ray Bestis to buy another machine, and it did not obligate Ray Bestis to buy that second machine from ABD. Second of all, the evidence was that when Ray Bestis went to ABD to get a second machine, ABD did not honor that 85% price. It submitted a price that was 10% more than the cost of the first machine. Because there was nothing in this contract that obligated Ray Bestis to buy a second machine at all, let alone buy that second machine from ABD, this contract was not a contract requiring continuing performance. It was a fully executed contract.
Wasn't the purpose of it for maintenance, though?
Your Honor, there is nothing in the language of the license that limits that license to maintenance. And more importantly, the parties discussed the fact that Ray Bestis may need additional machines. And Ray Bestis also had concerns about ABD's financial solvency. Ray Bestis wanted to secure to itself the right to make additional machines regardless of whether or not ABD was still in the picture. The license gave them that right.
But maintenance was a part of it.
Well, certainly Ray Bestis had the right to use ABD's drawings to maintain the machine. Even Mr. Kirk agrees with that. Mr. Kirk also agrees that ABD gave Ray Bestis the right to duplicate the drawings, distribute those drawings to third parties to make different tooling.
But again, the rights to duplicate the machine surely would have cost more than the $1 million, which covered the cost of the machine and the design of the machine.
Your Honor, that's not the case. Ray Bestis could have reverse-engineered the machine and created a new set of drawings. Had it done that, that would have cost a fee of some tens of thousands of dollars. It certainly would not have cost five times the price of the machine to do that. I see, Your Honor, that my life...
Well, I mean, that's a disputed fact, if ever there was one.
The disputed fact?
How much it would have cost to reverse engineer or whatever.
Your Honor, I think there was evidence in the record that Ray Bestis obtained bids to reverse engineer, and it was in the range of $10,000 to $15,000.
There is certainly in my mind a conflict between the term non-transferable and grants the right to duplicate. And it's just too difficult for me to see how that ambiguity can be resolved without some resort to parole evidence. You know, the district court, of course, found that the contract wasn't ambiguous, but the district court offered very little in the way of any kind of explanation of the reconciliation of that conflicting language. I just can't see it.
Well, Your Honor, the district court didn't need to resolve that issue because Ray Bestis never transferred the license to anyone. All of PDSI's work was for Ray Bestis' benefit. So the district court didn't have before it a fact scenario as outlined where Raybestos gave the license to somebody else and they started making clutch plate assembly machines for persons other than Raybestos. That scenario was never before the court. An ambiguity only exists. It does not make the agreement ambiguous because they're for a fact scenario that wasn't before the court. Raybestos did not transfer the license to somebody other than for purposes of making a machine for its own benefit, for its own use. Your Honors, for the reasons we've stated in our brief and today, we ask that Your Honors affirm the district court's decision in its entirely granting the defendant's summary judgment.
Ms. Kiley, would you provide that information Judge Rovner requested within 5 days?
I will do so. Thank you, Judge.
Your Honors, I just wanted to address a couple of points that Ms. Kiley brought up. One is that the use of the term non-transferable there means non-transferable. The fact that they're making an argument that PDSI was somehow an agent of Raybestos is just...
Well, why weren't they an agent? I don't...
Well, for one thing, the contract between the parties stated that they weren't an agent.
That's agency for tort liability. I think you could be an agent for that purpose or not, and for a different purpose here.
Right. I think that one does have to look at the benefit, though, that PDSI received in utilizing these designs. Ms. Kiley testified, and it's correct that the evidence shows that they sent these designs out to multiple parties that submitted bids. Some of those parties said, here's what we'll charge to reverse engineer the machine. We don't have to use the designs. The benefit wasn't solely Raybestos' benefit. The benefit went to PDSI because PDSI got a shortcut. They got to look at the designs, make copies of the designs. They made a Xerox copy of the design. They made substantially similar derivative works based on the designs. That shortcut the process. That made it faster. That was a great benefit to both of those parties, and that's why they did it, Your Honors, that it doesn't change the word non-transferable there. So I want to make that point.
Well, transferable ordinarily means permanent alienation, I think, doesn't it? As by sale or some other, usually by sale, I would think.
In the context of the language of this license, it said that the license itself was non-transferable. That means it can't be sub-licensed. That means that that Raybestos did not have the right, and they're stating they didn't license or attempt to sublicense those rights to PDSI. Therefore, PDSI has no defense.
Well, I don't think they ever purported to grant any kind of ownership interest to PSI, did they?
Right, but PDSI needed authority from the copyright owner to make copies of those designs. PDSI didn't have that authority. The only way PDSI could have gotten that was by way of sublicense through a licensed party. If there was a transferable license, but it wasn't transferable, it was non-transferable. I don't know that there's any. That's the one part of that license language that I think is pretty clear. Just wanted to make that point. Thank you very much, Your Honor, for your time.
Thanks to both parties. The case will be taken under advisement. We move to the second case for today.